And God has placed on my heart some verses that I didn't think he would do for a New Year's talk, because this is a New Year's talk. This is the first talk of 2019. It's going to be a good year. I can feel it in my bones, but it's going to be a challenging year because God is going to reposition me and he's going to realign me. And so let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36. We'll start with the good bit first. Because we're going to talk about a story of a man who the Bible says was just like you and me. Just like us. I could test you right now to find out if you know who I'm talking about, and most of you do, maybe. James chapter 5 says, Elijah was a man just like us. Yeah. Was a person just like you and me, and I love that. And we'll find out why in a minute or two. You might not think so reading this first bit, but the context of 1 Kings 18 is this, that the prophets of Baal had taken away the people of God from God himself, and they said, follow Baal, follow the gods of the land that you are in, and worship Baal. And Elijah wasn't happy about that. And so Elijah challenged them to a showdown. I've been watching a few westerns over Christmas. To a show, gunfight at the OK Corral. He says, come up to Mount Carmel. And if your god Baal can consume the sacrifice, fair enough, we'll worship him. But if he can't, then do you know what? My God can. Put his faith on the line there, isn't he? My God can. And so the context is the prophets of Baal did everything they could, and they prayed to Baal, and Baal did nothing, because actually, Baal's not real. It doesn't exist. They were just speaking into the fresh air, like so many of us do when we try and call out to the gods of our age and our world. And then we go to Elijah's turn. And it's 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, Oh, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and I've done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me. So those people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you're turning their hearts back again. And then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. Boom! That's a boom moment, isn't it? Everybody go, boom! That's boom. Boom! When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, The Lord, he is God! The Lord, he is God! Wow! And if I could be anybody at any moment in history, I want to be Elijah there. On Mount Carmel, don't you? Boom. Look at that. Didn't I tell you? And then we go to 1 Kings 19, chapter 1. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he'd killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, Get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, What are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord said, Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. So kind of you would have thought that Elijah, full of faith after Mount Carmel, man of power for the hour, would be on cloud nine, but instead he's full of fear and disappointment with himself. And if truth be told, disappointed with God. Surely this was the miracle of miracles that would end all miracles, and the whole world would be prostrate before the Lord. But instead he says, I've had enough, Lord. Take my life, I am no better than my ancestors. Maybe he thought and believed in the increase of the kingdom of God. Maybe he thought that's what's going to happen. And we look back at revivals, don't we? Whether that's Wales or whether it's Toronto or whether it may be. And we think maybe this is the revival. And we pray for the miracle of miracles to happen. We pray for the increase of the kingdom of God. And we think that God's going to do it this way, that way. And instead he's running away. And I love how real the Bible is about the human condition. Because Elijah faced disappointment with himself. Just like, I'm not going to say you do, but let's put my hand up. And in your heart, if you think your hand might want to go up, just like I do, on a weekly, daily, hourly basis, don't we? There are times when we think, Lord God, I wanted to be the greatest preacher the world has ever lived, and I walk away from here on a Sunday morning thinking, that was rubbish, again. Lord, why didn't I say this? Why didn't I say that? You know, sometimes we look at our weaknesses and we think, if only I was a risk taker for Jesus. And yet I've tiptoed around my faith at times. Don't we feel disappointed at times with ourselves? My niece got a diary for Christmas. And I don't know if you've heard of it, the Perpetual Disappointment Diaries. Anybody else heard of this? Oh, it's on Amazon. It's fantastic. I'm going to get one. And there's like a little quote of the day, every day. So I've just one or two that I've got here. If a tree falls in the middle of a wood and no one is there to hear it, does that remind you of your life? I love that. That's great, isn't it? I know it's meant to be encouraging, but I just love. There's some useful phrases to use when you're abroad, like you're getting a lot of diaries. J'ai perdu mon passeport. I've lost my passport. Je me suis trompé d'avion. I am on the wrong plane. I love that. J'ai accident ma voiture de location. I have destroyed the hire car. And then my favorite, there is no I in team, but there is a U in failure. That's good. I'm going to use that tomorrow when I do my first training day with the teachers. This is great, isn't it? And it's almost as though somebody's bought Elijah this diary for Christmas. It's almost as though Elijah's just on this right downer. And in the charismaniac church, sometimes we just are not allowed to be there. But God says, sometimes that's where we are. And I can move in you then. I can move in you just as much then as I can move in you on Mount Carmel. There's nothing wrong in having faith to believe that God can move with increasing power in our lives, but we make a mistake when we think it is all fire and miracle. And here we see Elijah in the desert under a broom tree wanting to die. So God sends an angel to minister to Elijah, and the angel says, the journey is too much for you. See, he's already in a bad place. And the angel's saying, the journey's too much for you. It would be nice, wouldn't it, for the angel to say, rise up, O mighty man of God. Lift up your head. Lift up your eyes and see. Nothing wrong with that. But instead, the angel says, the journey is too much for you. And eventually, after lying down again, Elijah gets up and he goes on a journey, travels from the desert to Mount Horeb and spends the night in a cave. And so far, it's not a great testimony. It's not something you stand up. I went from the desert to a cave. And in the cave, the Lord speaks to Elijah and asks a question. He is asking you, what are you doing What are you doing here? God puts the ball in Elijah's court and he says to Elijah, reflect on your life. As Adrian was saying before, as Gosha shared in the Proverbs, your heart is the wellspring of life. Look at your heart, Elijah. Consider where you are. Consider who you are. Reposition yourself, Elijah. Realign yourself, Elijah, because I want to unshape you and reshape you. God is calling Elijah and us to consider our position in him. Where are we in him? Where are you in him? To allow the Holy Spirit to realign us to him and reposition us in him. That's what God's going to do this year. And it's going to be the toughest journey that some of you, us, have ever been on. And some people won't make it if they try to do it on their own. And it's a tough call because most of us want to get on with stuff. But last week, Gosha shared about the bulb in the ground. Remember that? Those were here. And she had this picture of a bulb which is there buried in the soil. And it's kind of like, where are the flowers? Where's the fruit? It's actually in the soil. It's there in potential. It's there receiving the nutrients of God. It's there buried away and hidden away. What good is that? It's there buried in the soil of God. And that's how I see and picture Elijah. And the sooner we realize that the journey is too much for us in our own strength, then the sooner we'll devote our lives to seeking his presence and his provision. So why do we need to do that? Why do we need to get close to God? Because there are worldviews that we have that we think are godly and they're not. There are things we are doing that we think are God's ways and they are not. There are emotions that we've got that we have not processed, but we've buried them. Griefs that we have not grieved. Walls that we have not torn down. Disappointments we have not faced up to. Healing we have not received. And words from the Lord that we have not yet heard. We've got to get to the broom tree. What are you? God wants to grow something. I believe God wants to grow something new and powerful in us and among us that won't be like anything that's happened before. And he wants to grow it in you and in us and among us. And it's something fresh that will be a witness to the world. God wants to plant something deeper in us. And when I first gave my life to the Lord and Pat Oldfield gave me a verse from Isaiah 55. And Isaiah 55, again, a lot of you will know these verses because they are amazing verses. But Isaiah 55, it was more than just this, but from verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish, that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. We need to seek the Lord first in that buried place, so that he can drench us with his spirit. We want to be the Elijah of Mount Carmel, and we avoid being the Elijah of the broom tree. Shauna Nyquist, if you Google Shauna Nyquist, she's the daughter of Bill Hybels. She does some great blogs. She's done some great Bible studies. She says this, in terms of the internet, sometimes I feel like the internet is 100 versions of strive for greatness, crush everything. These are the 64,863 things successful people do before dawn. But how about this? You can just be a human. And it's under the broom tree in the desert in the cave of Mount Horeb that we truly realign ourselves with the King of Kings. So, while Elijah was in the cave,
The Holy Spirit tells him to stand in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. So Elijah is waiting with expectation. I don't know what he's expecting. He prayed for death. So maybe he was expecting a bit of death. Maybe that's what he thought was going to happen to him. This is the moment God kills me. Because that's what, maybe God's going to answer his prayer. Or maybe something else is going to happen. And so he stands there. And it says this, a great and powerful wind tears the mountains apart. You know, we read these things glibly. Hang on. Tore the mountains apart. I mean, I've been in Blackpool and been blown off my feet on the front. I remember going to Beaumaris, and we had the twins in a buggy, and we were along and I had to, like, they nearly went out to sea. I was like that with the buggy. But I've never been in a place where the mountains tore apart because of the wind, and there was Elijah. I mean, he must have been like this. And Elijah would have thought, Job 38, verse 1, the Lord answered Job out of the storm. But the Bible says, it says this, the Lord was not in the wind. And then an earthquake comes along. I've not been in an earthquake, wouldn't like to be, never want to be in one of those. But it looks astounding when you see the earth splitting apart. Maybe it reminded him of Exodus 15, verse 11, the song of Moses and Miriam. You stretched out your right hand and the earth swallowed them up. But it says the Lord was not in the earthquake. And then comes a fire. Well, here we go. Elijah knows about that, because Elijah was there when the fire came down from heaven and burnt up the sacrifice. We're in Leviticus 9, verse 24, where it says that fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. But it says the Lord was not in the fire. And my question is, what was the point of that? What? Why did God send all these things that he wasn't in? I kind of think you've got all these amazing things going on, fire and miracle and earthquake and storm, and God wasn't in them. Why bother? It's my question. And I think maybe God was teaching Elijah and us something. Because after the fire came the gentle whisper, which can be translated as the sheer silence of God. And I can't think of a precedence for that before the time of Elijah in the Bible, except maybe Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. When all things were created, it tells us the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. See, I believe that God speaks and God creates in the sheer silence when every other voice is still. God wants to realign us. He wants to create something new in us. And with us this year, he wants to speak to our hearts in a fresh, unexpected way through times of sheer silence, of creation. What is God saying to you? I don't know. Only you can find out what God is saying to you at the broom tree, in the desert, in the cave, in the silence. So this is not really your dynamic beginning of the year sermon, is it? But it is what God is saying. You know, what God has been saying before, when Dave was sharing about looking forward, this is about looking forward. This is about stepping into the things that God has got for you. My question is, how much do I want that? How much are we willing to face those things and come to the broom tree? This Wednesday, I just found out about this, there is a day of prayer and fasting for Elim. Elim Church are going to, and we're part of, for those who don't know, we are part of Elim. So we have got some sheets here which we're going to hand out. We're going to get somebody kind to hand these out. So this is from Chris Cartwright, and we're going to listen to Chris Cartwright in a moment or two, just about his take on this beginning of the year. Chris Cartwright is the leader of Elim in the UK. And so I was just on the website. In fact, I was trawling all the church websites yesterday. It was great, actually. It's really going around all the local church websites and having a look at what they're doing and praying for them. And it's good to lift up other churches. Okay, it's important that we do that. Lift up the ministers, lift up the people of the churches. So it was good. But I was on the Elim website. And so we're going to watch this. And also, there's prayers for Brexit. Okay, so if anybody wants that sheet, there's some prayers for Brexit. We'll get these sent out. So what we're going to do is I'm going to pray, and then we're going to listen to Chris Cartwright. Is that okay, guys? If we do that, let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you are not just the God of the fire and the earthquake, but you're the God of the broom tree, of the desert, of the cave. I thank you, Lord God, that you are drawing us and calling us and asking us the question, what are you doing here? And you're challenging us to reflect. What are we doing here? What is the next step, Lord? What is it that you want to realign in my life? And so we pray, Lord, for a refreshing of our walk with you, that we would realign and reposition ourselves in you. And it doesn't matter if we've been a Christian for 100 years or 10 minutes, Lord. We want to position ourselves in you and hear what you have to say to us. And so we lift ourselves up before you. And Lord, we lift up your church before you. We pray, Lord God, for every single member of Ormskirk Christian Fellowship, that you would bring your word to them, that you would stir, Lord God, and enable each person to be able to look at those things in their lives and be challenged by you again and say, Lord, what is it that you want to do in us? And we lift up before you, Lord, the churches in Ormskirk and Skelmersdale and Southport and the surrounding areas, Lord God, God, that you would bless and anoint the leaders and the people there, that, Lord, you would protect the churches, that we would begin to rise up as a cohesive witness to you, Lord, in this area and in this nation. And at this time, Lord, as we step into whatever might be happening over these next few weeks and months, Lord, in terms of our relationship with other countries and in the world, we ask for wisdom for our government. We ask, Lord God, that you would bring direction, that Holy Spirit, you would be there in the House of Commons, that you would be there, Lord, in the debating chambers, that you'd be there, Lord God. And in honor of your word, we lift up your leaders, Lord God, those who are over us in terms of the government of this country. And we thank you that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we trust you completely, Lord Jesus. But we are faithful in praying. And so, Lord Jesus, make us a people this year who are willing to seek your face, no matter what, to prioritize you above our busyness and our frenetic hankering after all of the glorious things that sometimes we call our agendas. But Lord, we want your agenda. We want to live according to your ways, your thoughts. Lord God, visit us again in those moments of sheer silence, where we silence every other voice and it is only your voice that we are willing to listen to, Lord God. Teach us rhythms of life and routines of the day when we can just come before you, Lord God. Teach us how to order our lives right so that we can again be those people who live lives of integrity with your kingdom, who live lives that represent you, who are lights in the valley of the shadow of death, that we would be, Lord, people who guard our hearts, the wellspring of life, that from it would flow your kingdom. Mighty God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Ruth's going to put up...